Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Sports is business. And whenever you are procuring talent, you must start with a criteria.
Being owners of this league and wanting our league to be the best in the world, how do we make it better?
The valuations are getting so high, the list of people who could purchase a team is getting really short.
We have 8 strategic investment areas when you look at the world of sports.
The NBA is already in 210 countries around the world.
NFL is an amazing thing for the sports betting industry.
We have the World Cup coming in 2026 in North America.
Hey, if I get $1 million, we're going to a school. Trust me, I'll be there.
Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
Hello, this is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. We explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
And don't worry, Scarlett Fu, she'll join us later in the show. Coming up today, we talk with longtime NBA and NCAA analyst and former player Jay Williams. We'll talk to him about some of the big money media deals happening in sports.
He also has a new business venture with Giannis Antetokounmpo called Improbable Media.
I don't know why schools wouldn't have their own production houses. You know, why wouldn't you have your own production house? You're already hiring videographers, editors, right, to do your social. Why wouldn't you partner with a company like us to then go out and say, why aren't we doing a documentary on Zion Williamson and his journey?
All that is on the way on the Bloomberg Business of Sports. But first, we tackle a few big stories in the ever-changing sports media landscape, starting with Amazon.
Amazon. We learned this week that Diamond Sports Group, the struggling regional sports TV network, reached a restructuring deal with its debt holders and Amazon.
What? More on the deal and what it means for regional sports networks and for Amazon's growing sports offerings. We welcome Bloomberg News distressed debt reporter. I feel bad when you come in like that. Is
very
Aaron
important.
Hudson, thank you so much for joining us on the Bloomberg Business.
Thank you so much. Yeah, no one ever wants to talk to me. So
I feel bad. It's like, you know, but I mean, you have so much knowledge about this with Amazon. First of all, what is happening? What is Amazon doing now for a lot of the RSNs? And it's, what, about 37 of them now?
Yeah. So, I mean, Amazon does stream some live sports, but certainly with this deal with Diamond Sports, this is going to be really unlocking the streaming platform for sports fans. And it's really completely saving Diamond Sports. I mean, Diamond Sports was on its way to a wind down. They were trying to finalize that deal. They are already in bankruptcy, have been in for almost a year. So this is a white knight moment for Amazon. And it's what a lot of people were really hoping was going to happen, but it seemed less and less likely. And we did have, you know, the news came out in December that they were in talks. But again, I think a lot of people were thinking talks is very far from an actual deal.
Aaron, good for Diamond Sports Group, but great for Sinclair, ticker symbol SBGI, absolutely ripping on this news. I mean, what does this mean for Sinclair? What does this mean for some of the unsecured creditors that own the bonds? Talk to us about the deal and structurally speaking, what does that mean for some of these investors and what that means for the company going forward?
Yeah, so I mean, it is a bit of a complicated story. In theory, this is great, but it is a little bit complicated in that part of this restructuring deal involves a settlement between.
Right.
So Diamond Sports sued Sinclair for. You know, wrongly taking about $1.5 billion. That's the value of that lawsuit.
Siphoning, isn't that the
siphoning
word? Siphoning.
Yes, it has gotten contentious between the parent Sinclair and the wholly owned subsidiary Diamond. So they do have a settlement now that is part of this restructuring deal. It's for just under $500 million.
So a third of that, okay.
Yes. So that litigation risk, it's a settlement. So if it goes forward, that'll be off the table for Sinclair. For Diamond creditors, you know, they were looking at potentially getting almost nothing. Right. There were a few things that, you know, might have worked out. This wind down would have had one more year, basically, like the 2024 seasons of broadcasting. So creditors could have made a little money off of that. But really, there was kind of the first lien, the people first in line to get paid, they were going to get paid. But everyone else, it was questionable what was going to happen for them. So with Amazon now, Diamond's going to keep operating. So there's this could all turn around. But I mean, the big picture here is how people are going to watch live sports and whether watching them on a streaming platform is going to be profitable enough. Because cable cord cutting, that's a big secular trend. It still is the way that a lot of people do watch their sports games. You have to have a cable. You have to have a TV package of some kind, a cable, satellite. But now you might be able, now you're going to be able to yeah. watch it on Prime Video. So does that mean you just get rid of your cable? Like these are kind of the big questions, I think.
Well, you know, I mean, here's my question, right? I mean, effectively, they broke their contract with a lot of these baseball teams, a lot of these regional teams, right? By going bankrupt in the first place and stopping to air their games. So are those relationships or those deals, like the Utah Jazz, we had the Utah Jazz president on here. They now have to go it alone. So now that Amazon's kind of bought the rights that they once had, I mean, do they still have those rights, Aaron?
No. So the rights that Amazon is going to get as part of this deal with Diamond are the rights, the direct-to-consumer rights. So those are the rights you need to be able to stream games.
Okay.
So what Diamond has are those rights for NBA, for some of the NBA, NHL, and five MLB teams. So those are the rights that are going to appear on. That's what Prime Video is going to be able to stream. There could be new deals that get done. Mm-hmm. And maybe now that for sure Amazon's in the picture, maybe there will be more to be done. But yes, I mean, you know,
incredibly Diamond, complicated, right?
It
really is because I mean, if you think about it, a lot of these teams have moved on from Diamond, right? I mean, they are making contingency plans. They're already going down a very, you know, a different path, and now this happens, right? So are they ready to pivot back? I mean, there's a lot of questions there. I guess, you know, for me also, you know, what does this mean for Amazon? Amazon is, you know, obviously going to be bidding on the NFL rights that are coming up and a lot of other things that are out there. I wonder how this all kind of packages. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it probably just says that Amazon wants these live sports rights. They want to be able to be like kind of a one-stop shop so that for when you do get that streaming subscription, you're just going to Amazon. You're just going to Prime Video. You're not having to deal with like Apple and, you know, all the various services. It's kind of, the best way to get a lot at once is through Diamond, through this bankruptcy, but it's so complicated to figure out the details and seems like Amazon has struck a deal, so.
Major League Baseball, apparently the officials were totally caught off guard about this deal. Can you expand more about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now we have to watch what comes out in the bankruptcy court. There, you know, none of this is final. It's all subject to the bankruptcy court, you know, the bankruptcy judge's approval. So, yes, there, you know, Major League Baseball's lawyer stood up in court and said that this came as a surprise. They're going to have to go through the fine tooth comb with it. So I think that's a big reporting question that we want to get to the bottom of. You know, thus far in the bankruptcy, getting a deal done with Major League Baseball has been a big point of this bankruptcy case and something that people have been trying to work on. You know, Diamond was able to get deals done with the NHL and the NBA, but not with the Major League Baseball. So those are the big questions that I think a lot of people involved in this situation want to understand is what is going on behind the scenes.
I'm just curious what these other creditors must be thinking right now. You know, Michael Barr, I mean, like, I'm thinking, you know, I mean, we're hearing reports that they've agreed to provide $450 million of new financing only because Amazon's investing as well. And, you know, a lot of those proceeds are going to be used to pay off their senior debt holders. I'm just, you know, Aaron, explain for me at this part, you know, of the process, is that a done deal? Is that set in stone? Could that change? I mean, how many moving parts are there? What kind of probability would you assign on this kind of a deal getting done?
Look, I think there's a lot of people who are celebrating right now, who are thinking, finally, we've got one of the big streamers, Amazon, in here. That was when people thought about Diamond Sports, like thinking a year, 2 years ago, they were saying live sports, everyone watches live sports. It will always be valuable and all the streamers want it. So this, you know, this is a good bet. But obviously everything has gone sideways since then. Yep. And now there's this, you know, last minute deal that has come together, super complicated. It could all get derailed if the judge doesn't approve it. And I think, you know, in the last year, whenever I would talk to some of the folks in the distressed debt world who were familiar with this situation, I mean, they just kind of groan, like, think about how much of a mess it is, you know, either because they're in it or they're just watching from afar.
Oh, forget about it.
It's a tough one, and people have lost a lot of money. So the hope is that now with this Amazon deal, in the long term, it's going to have turned around. The only people who are for sure getting paid back are the people who were first in line, these first lien creditors. Yeah. So they're the ones who are
senior in the capital structure.
They're the ones getting the most here.
And this is official, folks. Bloomberg News distressed debt reporter Aaron Hudson. You are so kind to come and join
us.
Thank you so much. Coming up on the show, we turn to the future of the NBA's media deals straight ahead on the Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at stiefel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr for Scarlett Fu and Damian Sassauer. We're talking media deals on the show today. Legacy media companies looking to find their way in the changing environment.
And new tech companies like Apple and Amazon are forcing their way onto the market.
And one of the big fish, the NBA, will be at the negotiating table soon. Damian and I got a chance to talk with Bloomberg News global business reporter Ira Boudway. He has an article in the Year Ahead issue of Bloomberg Business Week magazine about the NBA's new national TV contract. Let's take a listen to our conversation.
They're beginning to negotiate their next national TV deal, and nobody expects that it will end with them not having some streaming partner. Every other league, you know, the NFL, Major League Baseball, they've all begun to dip their toes in with the big tech giants and streaming partners because that is where the audience is moving.
So talk to us about these contracts. I mean, here's the deal. We know the NBA's contract expires in 2025. So I think the word on the street, Ira, is that they're going to renegotiate this year, right? So we should hear something here in 2024 as to what these contracts will look like. I'm just going to give a number out here. A pair of 9-year deals with Walt Disney and Warner Brothers Discovery for a combined $24 billion. What can we expect that number to turn into in 2024?
It'll be very interesting. A lot of people are watching. So those two incumbents, Warner Brothers Discovery, Disney, they get to have an exclusive window starting March 9th. Although a lot of people say they're not going to wait till then to bring some bids to the table. And so we will find out maybe not too long after that who's in and how much they're paying. You know, when that deal happened 10 years ago, it was a tripling of the money they had in the previous deal. And so that's kind of the benchmark. But most people I'm talking with don't think they're going to be able to triple it again.
Yeah.
And that even to get close, they're probably going to have to expand the number of partners they're working with. So probably Disney / ESPN, ABC come back. Probably Warner Brothers Discovery with TNT come back, but then they're probably going to add to that. And what exactly that looks like is really what's going to be interesting to see.
So what's interesting is that contract has resulted in hundreds of millions of dollars in massive contracts, supermax contracts to NBA stars, you know, over the better part of the last decade. Just how high can those salaries go up from here, right? I mean, does this mean once this deal is done that you're going to see Steph Curry supermax deals going, you know, gangbusters? I mean, what can we expect?
You know, I think it's interesting because one of the things that everyone is waiting for this deal, partly because I think the league pretty clearly wants to expand into more cities. Everybody thinks Seattle, Las Vegas are the natural choices, but the league splits this money between its 30 teams, so they want to know what they're divvying up before they figure out how much to charge the new owners who get the new teams and how much they're going to be paying players. So it is the largest single revenue stream for the league. So much depends, as you say, on how much they can get. And if they want both player pay and franchise valuations to keep moving up as they have been for the last decade, they're going to need this deal to be significantly bigger than the last one.
You put it in your article about how the landscape has changed from the people who are cable subscribers. Back when the original deal, 2014, was set up, it was about 100 million subscribers, and now it's down to 75 million. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, those are the headwinds that the league is going to be working against, right? The cable bundle is slowly going away. We don't know where the floor is. And the big legacy media companies are kind of in cost-cutting mode right now. There's a lot of consolidation. You know, it's not even clear. Some of the partners they're talking to maybe will be merging in the meantime. The league's not going to be able to just go to the table with the same deal it had last time and say, now the price is 3X, sign here. It's going to be different. They're going to have to slice off different packages and things, and they're going to have to go to a streaming partner because that's especially where younger viewers are, and the NBA has a relatively young viewership among big sports properties.
But they're losing money right now. All the streamers right now, not the subscribers, but I'm talking about the people who are putting out the stream, they're mm-hmm. still losing money with this.
Right. That's why they're in cost-cutting mode, right? Like the big Disney and the others they're in a squeeze between the attrition in the cable bundle and the fact that Disney Plus, you name it, Paramount Plus, Peacock, these things are still money losers for now. So they're going to have to invest in the NBA because it's still one of the best ways to get a large live simultaneous audience. But they're not necessarily feeling flush as they go to the table.
So it's interesting, right? I mean, and I didn't know that Disney and Warner Brothers are going to be given that sort of first right of refusal. I don't know if it's first right of refusal is the right way to put it, but certainly they're going to get a first look here. And, you know, I just have to think, okay, there's those two, but then you've got what? Comcast. Paramount, Alphabet, Amazon, Apple. Am I missing anyone? I mean, who else is going to be considered a big player in this negotiating deal?
I think that's mainly the list. You could say Netflix, maybe.
Okay,
you know?
Interesting.
It kind of depends. There has been some talk of Netflix buying into this new in-season tournament that the league started this year and then also trying to package with that some sort of access for an in-depth docuseries. And that's the kind of sort of out-of-the-box thinking that's going to have to happen here to bring in some of these streaming partners. You know, you can do things like exclusive Friday night window for a streaming partner.
Right.
You can, this in-season tournament, I think, was partly designed to be a distinct piece of inventory.
So talk to me about, you know, who's running the bidding process, right? I mean, does the NBA itself, have they hired some sort of, you know, a law firm or some sort of vetting, you know, somebody, some third party who's going to go in there, who's going to receive the bids, who's going to be like a data center? I mean, how does this work? Do we have any color on that?
My sense is that it happens mostly at the C-suite level within these companies.
Okay.
You're talking about maybe Deputy Commissioner Tatum, but certainly Adam Silver. Like, they are participating themselves in this because it's such a big deal. So they are talking with, you know, the top people, or in some cases people, you know, who are in charge of the sports/streaming departments at these companies directly, for the most part.
You said something when you talked about your article, and you talked to a sports media consultant, Ed Desser, and he probably had the quote of the whole thing. He's like, look, you got to fish where the fish are.
Right. Yeah, no, the I think the leagues would love to just keep going with the status quo, but it's just not an option. So yeah, if you want to find the audience, the deals might not be as lucrative and the audiences might not be as big, but that's where they are. And so you got to figure out ways to reach them there.
I mean, I'm thinking in terms of domestic rights, but what about the international rights to air the NBA abroad? I mean, is that part of this deal or no?
I think that more and more you will see global deals start to happen.
Right.
Right. So you look at the NBA has a game in Paris. That's a big piece of that is sort of grassroots, keeping the talent pipeline going. But another piece of that is obviously marketing and cultivating that fan base. And I think the leagues, the NBA, which is a global league very much, is going to start to try to figure out ways to be able to offer these tech giants, who are also global businesses, rights deals that are worldwide, instead of slicing them up market by market.
There was a service where they would offer, like, what, the last quarter or the last 2 minutes of the game. What happened to that? Is that still around?
I think that, so the NBA's own streaming package, right? It's out of market package that they do. They still run that themselves, right? And so you can buy that. And one of the increments that you can buy in is a single game or less. I believe they still offer the like final quarter, you know, for $2 arrangement. I don't know how many people use it, but they, in terms of getting out of market games streamed to your phone and through the league directly, that's still an option, right? And I think you will see leagues try to figure out whether they want to do that kind of direct consumer work more themselves, or whether they want to offload that to somebody like Amazon, who might be interested in it.
That's Bloomberg News global business reporter Ira Boudway. His story on the upcoming NBA media rights negotiations is part of Bloomberg Business Week's Year Ahead issue. Check that out at Bloomberg.com/businessweek, on newsstands and on the Bloomberg terminal. Up next, we talk with longtime basketball analyst Jay Williams. You're listening to the Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline, it's teamwork, and it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest-growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle-market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
This is Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks for joining us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr for Scarlett Fu and Damian Sassauer. We're talking media deals on the show today. Longtime ESPN basketball analyst and radio host Jay Williams knows a thing or two about sports media. On top of his career behind the mic and on screen breaking down games, he is co-founder of a brand new venture called Improbable Media, a venture he launched with NBA superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo. And guess who we have on the line right now? It's Jay Williams, co-founder. Welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Hey, I appreciate it, Michael. I was going to say, I'm sure a lot of people were hoping that it was going to be Giannis. Nope. That's fine. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being in the background, Michael.
We got two good ones, man. We appreciate it, man. Well, tell us about it. What is Improbable Media?
I've had an interesting stint being involved in media for the last 19 years after my short stint in the NBA. And I've been very fortunate to work with, you know, LeBron and Maverick from when they kind of were springboarding Spring Hill, doing a series with them on YouTube, and kind of got a chance to see both sides of the equation as an executive producer and as a talent within that series. And then work with Kevin Durant and Rich Kleiman to sell two seasons of The Boardroom about the intersection between sports, business, and finance to ESPN. And then, frankly, I started thinking about how I can work with athletes on a lot of the untapped revenue around them, from production dollars also to creation and ideation dollars, that typically that money goes to third-party agencies. And kind of through conversations with Giannis and his agent, put together our heads and thought of the name Improbable, just because, you know, we're always trying to make the improbable probable with both our stories, him being from Nigerian descent, also myself and my accident and my own comeback story. So I think, you know, the goal is to become the Pepsi-Cola of brands underneath us, with helping athletes kind of really monetize their ecosystems in today's age when so many investments and their portfolios are changing quickly in this new environment.
So you mentioned YouTube. I'm curious to hear where the production that Improbable Media is putting out will be seen. Is it going to be on YouTube? Is the goal to find a partner like Netflix or Amazon Prime or Hulu to distribute it that way?
So we have our first doc coming out. Well, we have two. We actually performed one for WhatsApp that Giannis, like I said, we're both of Nigerian descent. He actually went back to the homeland of Nigeria and actually experiencing, you know, where his family's from for the first time in his life. So they were able to document that. And we also have Giannis, The Miraculous Journey, which we did with Word and Picks, Connor Schell, who ran 30 for 30 over at ESPN for a long stint. Kristen Lapis directed it, is actually premiering in February, right after the All-Star game. Just on, you know, the true story of how Giannis and his family, they lost his father, and the story of, you know, all three of his brothers. And, you know, even Giannis is incredible, but, you know, Tanasi, is how you say his name in Greek, his oldest brother, is truly one of the inspirations of the family. So I think people understanding where they were, sure, how they got here, the background he had in Greece, I think all of it is pretty important.
Jay, you know, and for our audience, you know, I mean, it needs no introduction. Jay Williams was the number two pick overall by the Chicago Bulls after an incredible collegiate career at Duke University. I mean, for the Blue Devils, for Krzyzewski. And you know, obviously, you know, a motorcycle accident cut your professional career short and the comeback that goes hand in hand with that. But, you know, let's just stick with the content here because it's all about fresh content. And I often have this conversation with Scarlett, you know, and Michael, you know, what stories have yet to be told in professional sports? I mean, what are you hearing? What's interesting out there?
There's a ton. Well, it's just not stories, but it's also, you know, how, I'll give you guys an example. Like, obviously right now, NIL is a really big, sure, you know, challenge. You know, one of the things that I see happening, whether, you know, we have a lot of big time people that retire, Nick Saban just retired from Alabama, but inevitably, I don't know why schools wouldn't have their own production houses.
Right.
And, you know, if you're Duke, you know, why wouldn't you have your own production house? You're already hiring videographers, editors, right, to do your social. Why wouldn't you partner with a company like us, mm-hmm, to then go out and say, why aren't we doing a documentary on Zion Williamson and his journey? And we have IP and we have footage of his time here at Duke, and this allows us to be an executive producer. And once again, like, untapped revenue around that model. So I think there are incredible stories that are happening. I'll give you another example, and I am gung-ho on who she is as a person, but also her brand. Caitlin Clark. The WNBA needs Caitlin Clark more than Caitlin Clark needs the WNBA.
Well said.
And, you know, people are, you know, You know, Scarlett, I'm sure you have to appreciate this. You know, within women's basketball, and I appreciate this having two daughters, I'm watching the way the pipes of distribution behind ESPN, they're really behind her. And we sell her in everything we do around women's basketball. And you can make a case that with NIL, she's going to earn exponentially, maybe 7 to 10x more next year. She stays in college, and she will be the most famous basketball player in all of collegiate sports. So I think stories like that and how schools are going about it are really intriguing to me.
Yeah. Caitlin Clark, you talk about someone that just blew me away when I saw her play. I'm like, oh, my God, this young lady has got it going on. To the point, and which brings up this question, one day where you're going to see a woman in the NBA, not just the WNBA, but the NBA, because she is extremely talented.
Well, Michael, also, and you can even push the boundary to this point. If there are new leagues that are being out there that are being pitched to be formed, especially in the summertime around women's basketball, and if Caitlin Clark were to get to a point, why wouldn't she spearhead a new league with a completely different economic system? I get a chance to be around a lot of incredible people, Mark Lazary being one, and what they're doing over at Avenue Capital and him raising funds for their sports fund. So you get a chance to see all these new leagues that are being established, whether that's, you know, Sail GP, whether that's professional bull riding, PBR, and women's sports. When I go to all these conferences from, you know, Bloomberg Conference, the Sports Business Journal, the Sportico, the Front Office Sports, the amount of people that are looking to invest because of the entry point into women's sports is greater now than it's ever been before. So why not, for a person who has the largest brand in all of women's sports, why not partner with other women athletes and form a different league?
So, Jay, I have to ask you, you know, you are a Duke Blue Devil. Cooper Flagg, I mean, talk to us about John Shire. Talk to us about the team. I know you're 4-1 in division this year. My son goes to the University of Miami. We're going to be playing you in a few weeks, and I will be there. Talk to us about the team. Talk to us about how things are looking.
Yeah, you know, the ACC overall is an interesting conference. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, and I'll get to Duke in a second, but, you know, you got Florida State the football side, because football drives the most revenue. You got J.P. Morgan, you got Sixth Street Capital, a private equity firm, that are trying to pay over $200 million to get Florida State out of the ACC to the Big Ten now with all this conference realignment. And Florida State has a legitimate case, right? Like, you know, their football team brings in more revenue than a Boston College, and there shouldn't be an equal split. So I think we're getting to interesting times in ACC as we try to bring more teams into the conference. Maybe we'll go to relegation, and one team might have to move up to a certain slot if they win a certain amount of games and share in the revenue more. But I think Duke is always going to be at that top threshold of the conference. And whenever you're filling in the shoes for a guy like Coach K, John Shire has his hands full. But Cooper Flagg might be the most exciting player we've had in college basketball since, you know, Trae Young or Zion Williamson.
Since
and
Jay
what
Williams.
I mean by that, yeah, well, thank you. But what I mean by that is, think about it. Like, this year, we just sat here and talked about Caitlin Clark. I'll ask you guys, who is the biggest college basketball player on the men's side? Do you guys know?
I honestly can't really think of anyone this year.
Not to the Caitlin Clark level.
Yeah, Damian, that's my challenge, right? And I can make the case that it's probably Bronny James.
Right.
Because of LeBron James at USC, but Bronny James isn't putting up the numbers of an elite caliber player. Now, there are talented players, but no players that you see media engines behind pushing to the general public associating with college basketball. Mm-hmm. So that's where I think Cooper Flagg, you will see him everywhere next year the same way you have seen Caitlin Clark, because he has that personality, he has that style and that play, and you will see between Fox, ESPN, gambling companies, his name will resonate differently. So I think that's the opportunity for a guy like him and Duke, for them to marry that brand together to become extremely more relevant.
I want to get an idea from you, Jay, on what you think about the new 8-year, $920 million deal for media rights that ESPN and the NCAA signed. What does it mean for sports beyond college basketball?
Scarlett, I love that your nickname is Bulldog Scarlett. I'm going to go Bulldog now as well. I mean, I don't know how we do not go to a rev share model and how we do not go towards these players becoming employees. And I know there are challenges around Title IX. I know there are things I do not have all the answers, but just seeing Charlie Baker, the NCAA president, his proposal lets me know that we're going in that direction. And, you know, I'll say this, you know, when you think about a coach, you know, we have the transfer portal right now that's occurring, and essentially it's free agency every single year for all these players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear coaches complaining about retention. You know, a lot of their players are being recruited off of their rosters in the middle of the season because NIL money is bigger and better at other schools. And you have these mid-major schools that, you know, can't retain some of their top players because these bigger schools are poking them. So I think we're going to see I think we're going to see Division I shrink drastically. I think we're going to have one super PAC league inevitably. It's going to go in that direction. And it's going to be a major rev share model. And I think the players are going to have to form, there's going to have to be a union because coaches are represented, schools are represented, but the players have no uniformed voice. And to me, that's a major concern, and it has to be addressed.
Well, that's the thing about, as you mentioned, Scarlett, about what's going on. And this deal, I mean, this is huge, as we were saying.
Yeah, and it's going to be messy once you start talking about organizing students into unions, because
right.
some states don't allow.
Joe Moglia was just saying that last, right? We were just talking to him about unionization at the student-athlete level is uncharted territory.
It's problematic and, you know, lots of legal challenges ahead.
So, like, I agree with you. I think it's going to be difficult. I just don't know how you do not push in that direction. I've already seen schools with NIL utilize some of their state legislation to dance around certain issues and the NCAA. So that's why I said before, it almost feels to me as if the NCAA is irrelevant right now. I mean, think about how much revenue is being generated from the Big 12 or the Big. We now have UCLA and USC in the Big 10. In the Big Ten, like even so, when I hear schools talk about, well, we prioritize education, how could you do that?
Exactly.
Right. Your travel schedule alone, Scarlett, when you're playing a game, you're telling me if you're UCLA, you're going to take your classes and then you're going to travel across the country to play in Maryland on a Tuesday night, and then you're not going to miss classes. It's about driving revenue. It's about dollars.
Yep.
And as long as we start from there, I think the rest of the floodgates will continue to open.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Jay, we started off talking about Florida State University. I want to ask you a question about the Orange Bowl, right? I mean, what a travesty. There were, you know, sponsors that paid to, you know, for the Orange Bowl. You know, they wanted it to be a great game, and all of a sudden, you know, they didn't start anybody, right? And Georgia blew them out. And, you know, my question is, how many more years are we going to have to endure of this before someone gets, I mean, and who is that someone? Who's going to get involved to change the name of the game? Because with the transfer window gone and these, you're right, these students, you know, incentivized to, you know, to not play, to not dress. I mean, that just can't be good for the sport.
No, it's really bad for the sport. And by the way, I mean, we have too many bowl games anyway, though, Jamie. Can I just start off there? I mean, we got like the Cheez-It Noodle Bowl. I mean, I'm just making up names of bowls that we have. And I get it. And shout out to Georgia for actually all their guys playing and following through. But like once again, I think if there were some kind of rev share model where that went a portion of the those monies went towards the players, I think we'd be having a different conversation. I really do. You can't obviously. Some young people are going to want to get themselves ready for the NFL draft or the opportunity to prepare for whatever's next or going in a transfer portal and don't want to risk it. But that's why I think when you go back to employees and salaries and things that are fixed, they're fixed cost. Like if I know a game is associated, like in the NBA, I knew that if I like Draymond Green, right? I'm sitting here in my room right now watching him on SportsCenter and he missed 16 games. There is an associated cost with each game that he missed, right? That he feels that in his paycheck. So if there's a cost associated with a bowl game, I'm way more apt not to miss that if that means that's going to be money out of my pocket. It's just a different way to look at it. And we keep talking about collegiate sports as if it's really amateurism, but it's really never been amateurism. It's always been professionalism. We just use that as a scapegoat to dance around issues that we don't really want to address.
Charlie Baker, head now of the NCAA. I just wonder if he's thinking, hell, I was better off when I was the governor of Massachusetts.
Why did I take on this headache?
Yeah, this is something he's got to negotiate through all of this. And now he put a proposal out there, and you touched off into it a bit. He proposed to schools and students to let the top schools pay their student athletes directly. Is that a good idea?
It's a step in the right direction. The reality is that some schools will be able to pay a lot more than other schools. So it has to continue to be regulated. You know, one of the things that, I mean, I'm laughing internally here because we act like the precedent hasn't been set. I mean, we have scales, we have CBAs already in professional sports. Mm-hmm. We have it. The NBA has it. The NFL has it. The MLB has it. And granted, there are complexities here. But as it relates to, a rev share model, we already have things in place. So I don't understand why we don't start partnering with bigger organizations to understand and utilize their resources on how they can help us get to a point where, obviously, look, revenue is going to be driven by football first. I understand that. Basketball is a completely different challenge, but we have things in place already to kind of work towards that. We should just form more partnerships to figure that out.
Well, that's the thing. You mentioned that earlier, is that the big schools, they're going to be able to handle this, but hey, Watsamata U is not going to be able to handle this one bit.
All the Cinderella stories, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have some of these teams reaching the Final Four. And, I'm happy that we have NIL right now, but I mean, the amount of money the school makes for, when a team and how the conference is incentivized for a team to make the Final Four, wish the players could participate in that economically. But yes, I mean, inevitably, but that's also though where I became a little bit hardened because I live in a capitalistic society and rules are not fair for everybody. And if you're a school that's doing 3x in revenue as opposed to a smaller school, that's the reality. That's the nature of the business model of that school. So that's why I do see D1 shrinking drastically because there's certain players that can participate at that level. And, other schools may have to drop down to D2. And you should be utilizing those resources. Not for, how many schools I know that have football teams that you have no business having football teams, right? Utilize those resources for other sports that are deserving. Go down to D2 and utilize it that way.
Hey, what's them out of you, Damian? That's how old I am. I got to make a Bullwinkle reference to get to this point. Don't mind me, Jay. I'm sorry, man. I'm old.
I'd like to pivot back. I'd like to pivot back to Improbable Media, where you're co-founder alongside Giannis. And, you're just mentioning, you've got something coming out here about Giannis, about his youth, about him coming out of, I think his family had migrated from Nigeria to Athens. But I think a lot of this new clip that you guys worked on is taking place in Nigeria. You know, I happen to know a little thing about Nigeria. Are we talking Abuja, Port Harcourt? Is it Lagos? I mean, where is Giannis really from?
He's around Lagos.
It's around Lagos.
I don't want to tell his story. I'll allow him to talk about. Well, Damien, I say that because, look, I'm going to be very transparent with you, right? Like, my wife is Lebanese and Italian. Mm-hmm. When we did her, my father, who listens to you guys all the time and other shows on Bloomberg and NPR.
Yay.
My father's very big into 23andMe, right? So Scarlett, mm-hmm. my father, building a relationship with my wife, you know, brings the 23andMe to the house and, you know, we're in New York and he's like, you know, look at your family lineage. And, you know, my wife is like, this is incredible. I'm seeing my great grandfather from Italy and from my family from Lebanon and things of that sort. And I'm like, all right, you know, in my mind, I'm like, all right, Dad, like, where do we go back to? And like, all of a sudden, like, our family tree stops around the 1900s, you know, and like, we can't figure that out. So there's complexity there about like, where do I really come from and what does that really mean? And as you can imagine, for Giannis, the complexities of being Nigerian descent, right? But then also, what is it to be Greek?
Yeah.
And what is it right. to deal with some of the challenges of racism that he had being in Greece, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
and
amazing, yeah.
and how he didn't feel accepted there until he became somebody really big. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, he is like the savior for the country when he never felt like he was part of the country earlier. And then to be thrown into what it means to be African and Black in the United States when you play for Milwaukee and you're in the bubble and yeah. the situation occurs in Wisconsin. Right? Like, what yeah. does that mean?
Yeah.
We're still trying to figure out what it means to be Greek and Black and what it means to be Nigerian and Black. So I there's a lot of these nuances within his story as he still, you know, he's predominantly a really positive human being and just wants everybody to be happy, learning how to even talk about that or tell his story. So I think it, you know, within this thing, within the Amazon, Giannis, the miraculous journey, I think you get a chance to hear from a first count basis how he dealt with that. And how he's still learning how to deal with what it means to be Black and be successful in America in a small city market like Milwaukee.
It's an extremely relatable story in many ways. I mean, you know, none of us are NBA players, but this idea of struggling to figure out which part of your identity you are at any given time in your life.
Well, Scarlett, I mean, really, it takes us full circle to the conversation we're having here with Jay when I first asked, you know, what stories have yet to be told in professional mm-hmm. sports? And clearly, there are a lot of stories that have yet to be told in professional sports. No, Michael Barr?
Oh, yeah. And I think, and you're right, Giannis, he just wants to make people happy until they play the Pistons. Oh, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. Hey, native Detroiter, I'm sorry. I said that out loud.
He's not sorry.
No, Michael, but even Detroit is a really, the backstory of Detroit yeah. and Kay Cunningham. You know, people, you know, I see it all the time, you know, as a former player when, you know, fans yell at guys and call them bust and say you stink. And I'm like, actually, he doesn't stink. He's part of 0.0001% of the world to achieve
that's
a
right.
certain goal, right? But like how that can seep into the minds of other people. And that's why I think media is so important. I sit on a platform daily and, you know, spar with Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp and, you know, and Pat McAfee. And that opens up another can of worms. There are a lot of conversations around things that are happening at our network and people and things of that sort. But, you know, it's about how do you tell those stories and how do you, you know, let people understand that these things are complex. And it's the reason why I wrote my book. People told me my story wasn't done and I should wait until I'm older. I'm like, well, hold on. This is one of the chapters. And, mm-hmm. you know, me losing something is more relatable to everyday people in a world in which everybody tries to tell you how differentiated they are. Mm-hmm. We're over here trying to say, no, we're more like each other more than ever. How do we lean and tap into that?
Well said.
Now, what's the name of the book, by the way, so people can go out and get it?
It's called Life is Not an Accident, a memoir of reinvention. So it was a long journey and a lot of scripts that went by Coach K where he told me, hell no, send that back when you're actually had better work. So it's been a good process.
Jay Williams, co-founder of Improbable Media, you are so kind to talk with us. And I know people out there, by the way, is like, yeah, I knew he was on the basketball court. I see him all the time on ESPN, too, yep. as an analyst. So don't give me that we don't know who you are. We know you, man. Jay Williams.
I appreciate you, Michael. Thank you. Thank you, Damian. Thank you, Scarlett.
Thank you, Jay.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports Show. We are here each and every week at the same time, plus online wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Michael Barr from my colleagues, Scarlett Fu and Damian Sassauer. Thanks for joining us. Tune in again next week for the latest on the stories moving big old money in the world of sports. You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV+.